Hare Krishna. Today is a very blissful and auspicious day of Gopashtami. We will begin by chanting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 15, text 1, which actually talks about this festival. In Vrindavan, Gopashtami is special, so it is befitting that we celebrate in the way that we are doing now, having all come to the Goshala.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Shataha Cha Pauganda Vayaha Shrito Vraje Babhuvatuhu Tau Pashupala Sammato Gaha Charayanto Sakhibhihi Samam Padaihi Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratuhu Shri Shuka Uvacha Tatascha Pauganda Vayaha Shritau Vraje Babhuvatustau Pashupala Sammatau. Gascharayantau Sakhibhi Samam Padair Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratuhu. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tatascha Pauganda Vayaha Shritau Vraje Babhuvatustau Pashupala Sammatau Gascharayantau Sakhibhi Samam Padai Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratuhu. Please chant.
Pashupala Samato
Gascharayantau
Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Tataha, then, cha, and, Pauganda Vayaha, the age of Pauganda, years 6 to 10, Shritau, attaining, Vraje, in Vrindavan, Babu Vatuhu, they, Ram and Krishna, became Tau, the two of them, Pashupala, as cowherds, Sammatau, appointed, Gaha, the cows, Charayantau, tending, Sakhibhi Samam, along with their friends, Padaihi, with the marks of their feet, Vrindavanam, Sri Vrindavan, Punyam, auspicious, Ativa, extremely, Chakratuhu, they made. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pauganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Om Jnana Pindirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Deva Tasmai Shri Purave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Lena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Javaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Dirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpataruvyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare On the day of Gopashtami, Shri Krishna graduated. It was a graduation ceremony. It was a day of Krishna's coming of age. He had previously been tending the calves, and from this day on, he was given charge of the grown-up cows to look after. So a big celebration was held in Vrindavan by Nanda Maharaj. It was some kind of an initiation ceremony. A grand festival was organized. And till today, in Vrindavan and at other places too, Gopashtami is celebrated with great jubilation, fanfare and devotion. Especially the pastime of Krishna's being awarded the charge of the cows is discussed. The glories of the cows are discussed. The cows are worshipped. They are dressed and decorated nicely. Sometimes a full Gopuja is done with 10 upacharas, 10 ingredients. Their horns are decorated with turmeric. Have you done that? Turmeric. The horns usually get decorated with turmeric, and then sometimes they put kumkum, sindoor, on the foreheads, or the bodies of the cows, and then also handprints for auspiciousness on the bodies of the cow. You may have seen that in various parts of Braj, when there are imprints of people's hands on the cows. A great festival is organized where people gather together, they feed the cows, they worship them, they sing about them, they glorify them, they offer their obeisances to them, they circumambulate them. And in remembrance of how dear the cows were to Krishna. Krishna is of course known as Gopal and Govinda. So Krishna can never be separated from the cows. And in Vrindavan especially, this pastime is a very celebrated pastime of Krishna's herding the cows. But this was not his first initiation ceremony, so to speak, because he was only graduating from looking after the calves to the cows, to the grown-up cows. But some years before that, there was a first initiation ceremony. This was like the second initiation ceremony. The first initiation ceremony was when he was actually awarded the care officially of the calves. Now, as you know, Krishna's pastimes happened here in Gokul. Krishna was born in Vrindavan, in Mathura, and then he was shifted to Gokul immediately thereafter. And many wonderful pastimes took place in Gokul, namely the killing of Putana, the killing of Shakatasura, the killing of Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon. There was also the pastime of Krishna's eating dirt and exhibiting the universal form to Mother Yashoda within his mouth. There was a name-giving ceremony of Krishna. It was soon after this ceremony that was performed by Garga Muni that Krishna started crawling. Normally, children take a little longer to crawl, but because Krishna was an exceptional personality, even though he was not playing God in Vrindavan, but he was still very exceptional. And the Padma Puran says that exceptional personalities like the Supreme Lord and others too, they mature 1.5 times faster than others do. So Krishna started crawling much earlier than the other boys of his age. And then he started playing with the calves. And he would hold on to their tails and they would drag him and also his friends along in the cow dung and the cow urine smeared dust of Vrindavan. And the gopis would stand and watch with great glee these ecstatic pastimes that were unfolding. As Krishna gradually continued to crawl, he learned to stand. And then he began to walk. Initially, he used to stagger and stumble and fall. But then gradually he learnt how to balance himself. That Supreme Lord who balances everything in the entire creation who is now learning to balance his own walk and his own gait. His walking was also premature in the sense that it happened earlier than for others. Of course, for the second time, the pastime of the eating dirt happened now, the second time Krishna revealed his universal form, and this time to Mother Yashoda. After this happened, the celebrated Damodar Leela, with Krishna being tied by the rope of the pure love of Mother Yashoda to the grinding mortar. And Krishna then dragging the grinding mortar between the two Yamalarjuna trees and pulling them down with a great crash, much to the great fear of the Brajavasis. Krishna was unharmed. The two giant trees lay on either side of him. And Krishna lay there, still bound to the grinding mortar, smiling blissfully as if nothing had happened. Soon after this incident, the other children also, of course, were participating with Krishna in his pastimes. Some of the other childhood pastimes took place. The fruit vendor lady came and Krishna had that very sweet pastime with her. And Mother Yashoda is chastising Krishna to come home for lunch when he was out playing with his friends. Mother Yashoda scolded Krishna that, "Are you a street urchin, an orphan? Come home immediately and take your lunch." And Krishna was very fearful of Mother Yashoda on one hand and his friends on the other hand. These are the kind of pastimes that make Vrindavan so extraordinary. The kind of sweetness and intimacy and the ordinariness with which the Supreme Lord acts in Vrindavan is astonishing. So soon after this incident, all the Brajavasis had an Ishtagoshti. They all gathered together for a conference. And they were very fearful of Krishna's safety because so many asuras had come in. Putana, Trinavarta, Shakatasura. And there were many kinds of dangers that were lurking at every corner. Srila Prabhupada in his purports earlier says that every day there were two or three incidents that happened before lunch. And usually they involved killing of the asuras who had come in different forms. In other words, the asuras that are mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam do not constitute the entirety of the asuras that were killed by Krishna. Just a few samples, a few important ones are mentioned here. But there were many, many more, it appears, that Krishna would kill practically every day. So the Brajavasis had become very worried. So they decided to shift to Vrindavan, Chatikara. And they all gathered together and said, "You know, this place is very nice, but we are full of worry and anxiety because these demons are coming and attacking here. So let's go to the other side of the Yamuna. There's a nice place between here, that is Mahavan, and Nandagaon. And that place is called Vrindavan. And there's also a nice hill there called Govardhan Hill. And our cows will be able to graze very nicely." So then the whole Vrindavan community, the Gokul community of Nanda Maharaj, packed up, baggage and everything. They didn't have that much. They could load everything they had into some bullock carts, ox carts. And you will remember that Nanda Maharaj's father, Parjanya Maharaj, originally lived in Nandagram, but he had moved from Nandagram to Gokul. And it is here that Krishna performed his childhood pastimes. Now Gokul was unsafe. So Nanda Maharaj with all the Brajavasis packed their belongings in bullock carts and they set out to find another place. They wanted to move to Vrindavan. But in those days there were no bridges and so on. So they had to find a place where they could cross the Yamuna easily. So they travelled way up north to the forest called Bhandirvan. As you know, there are many, many forests in Vrindavan, in Brajabhumi. Of these forests, about 137 of which have been identified as forests and sub-forests, 12 are considered the chief ones. 5 of them are on the eastern side of the Yamuna and 7 on the western side. So Gokul Mahavan is the southernmost of those 5 forests on the eastern side of the Yamuna. So Nanda Maharaj and all the other Brajavasis from Gokul, then they started moving up with all their cows, 900,000 cows, and their bullock carts and all the luggage that they had. They started walking. It was of course a joyful procession because Krishna was with them. And they moved through Lohavan, went through Belvan, and eventually they came to Bhandirvan. And at Bhandirvan they crossed over the Yamuna and went to the western side of the Yamuna. And the cows couldn't cross at that point, so they went a little further north to the forest called Bhadravan, and they crossed the Yamuna there. And eventually the Nanda Maharaj and the Brajavasis along with their cows moved southwards and came to Vrindavan, the place that we today call Chatikara, this whole area. And in the Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami explains that when Nanda Maharaj came here with the Brajavasis, they all had their bullock carts. So they placed their bullock carts in a semicircle to act as a protective ring. And then all of them settled in that semicircular area. This was a period roughly when Krishna's Kaumara Leela, his childhood pastimes, were coming to an end. So you can call it the Shesh Kaumara. Shesh means the ending. Kaumara means the childhood pastimes. And as we all know, we have heard this many times before, Krishna's pastimes are divided into many phases depending on his age. There are the childhood pastimes which are called Kaumara or Balya, the boyhood pastimes which are called Pauganda, the adolescent pastimes or pre-youth pastimes which are called Kaishor, and very soon after completing or attaining or you're completing the age of Kaishor, when he just about reached the age of youth, then Krishna moved from Braj, from Vrindavan to Mathura. So that happened roughly a little over 11 years after Krishna's performing his pastimes over here in different places. Even after coming to Vrindavan, there were many, many asuras who came here. So Nanda Maharaj, after some years, he had another ishtagoshti with the gopas and gopis, and then they moved on further to Nandagram. So back full circle from where Parjanya Maharaj had started. And Rishabhanu Maharaj also had moved side by side, because when they were living in Nandagram, Rishabhanu Maharaj was in Barsana. But when Parjanya Maharaj or Nanda Maharaj had moved to Gokul, Nanda Maharaj had moved to Raval and Vasati, or Raval. And then again when they came to Vrindavan, they moved to Vasati, Rishabhanu Maharaj. And eventually when Nanda Maharaj went back to Nandagram, Rishabhanu Maharaj moved back to Barsana. Because Nanda Maharaj and King Vrishabhanu were very close friends and they wanted to be close to each other. And of course that was very important from the point of view of Krishna's pastimes, because Srimati Radharani would also be nearby. So in any case, till this time when the Brajavasis crossed over the Yamuna and went to the western side, Krishna had killed Putana, he had killed Trinavarta, he had killed Shakatasura, he had performed the Damodar Leela, he had started walking. And as they crossed over, Krishna was getting more and more restless. He was becoming a little more independent. He was maturing very quickly. And as they moved to Vrindavan, Krishna started developing a desire to herd the calves. And he used to always go around with his father. Of course, he was initiated into the calf herding pastimes, and this is narrated by Shukadev Goswami in relation to the killing of Vatsasura. So Vatsasura was the asura first killed when they moved to the western side of the Yamuna. So Krishna was always thinking, I also want to herd the cows. I may not be very big, I may not be able to herd the cows, but I can certainly herd the calves. So Krishna had this desire very strongly within him. By this time, as he was growing up, he had already left his mother's breast and he was expressing great curiosity about the world. He was moving here and there. And even as his mother bathed him, he did allow her to bathe him, but he was embarrassed now. He was beginning to feel awkward because he was growing up. And as his mother dressed him, then he would leave his mother half-dressed and run away to another place and then finish the dressing in a slipshod manner, because he didn't want his mother to do all this for him now, because he felt he was now growing up. He was a big boy. Of course, he was still very small. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, oh, this is not a good sign. My little boy is growing up. And as he grows up, because we are all cow herders, so he's going to start raising the cows now. He'll want to go out into the forest. And that will not be very nice for me at all. Then Krishna approached Nanda Maharaj and said, Father, I want to come with you along with my friends when you go out to graze the cows. So Nanda Maharaj, being very kind-hearted, he said, yes, Krishna, you come. So Krishna, Balaram and some of their friends would go out with the older gopas led by Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj would be grazing the cows, and Krishna, Balaram and the other cowherd boys would also imitate the elders in grazing the cows. And sometimes they would go and sit on Nanda Maharaj's lap, sometimes on the lap of the elder gopas. Sometimes there were other people who would come to see them in the forest. He would go and sit on their lap, and he would look around at the forest. And as he was growing, because his curiosity was increasing, he was asking a lot of questions. What is this tree? Why did this bird do that? Why do those peacocks, they sing in this way? And he used to constantly ask them questions. And the Brajavasis were floating in an ocean of delight, because Krishna was not still able to speak and pronounce very clearly. And his questions were often very intelligent. So he would sit on the lap of the Brajavasis and ask questions. Sometimes he would get off the laps and along with his friends, he would go in front of the cows, or at least some of them, and pretend that he was raising them. And sometimes, Jiva Goswami explains, they would try to hold as many as 5 cows, and that was a big job because they were very small at that time. He was still in his Balya Avastha, or in his Kaumara stage, in his childhood stage, the end of that childhood stage. And then as they would go imitating the cowherd men, Krishna would sometimes say, I will be the first one to go in front of the cows. And the other boys would say, no, I will be the first one. So they would all race to the front of the cows, and then they pretend as if they were grazing. Sometimes they would just sit and play games. So this went on for some time. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was getting worried. One time she called Nanda Maharaj alone, privately, when Krishna was not there. And she began to scold him. And she said, you're doing something that is unprecedented. How can you take out these little boys for grazing? They're too small. They may get injured. These cows are really big. And they swing their heads to and forth, and they have big horns. So it's very dangerous to take them. So Nanda Maharaj was feeling a little despondent. And then the next time he asked Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda, Krishna and Balaram want to come out with us when we graze the cows. We'll look after them.
So can we take them out? And both the gopis, the elderly gopis, refused outright. They said, nothing doing. You can't take Krishna and Balaram out now. They're too young. And finally, when Nanda Maharaj broke the news to Krishna and Balaram, they were heartbroken. So they became very, very sad. Great anxiety filled their heart. And they were sitting there crying and feeling cheated. And one time actually, after a few days of being denied permission to go with the elder gopas, Krishna ran away with his friends into the forest, hoping to catch up with the older cowherd men who had gone with the cows. Somehow they lost their way in the forest and ended up at a completely different place. So there they ended up playing different games, and somehow or the other they came back. Now this incident caused some worry to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. If our boy is going to run away like this, then it will be more dangerous. At least when he goes with the grown-ups are there to keep an eye. But if he just runs away, he's become so restless and naughty and mischievous at this age, and he has learned to walk and run. So if you don't allow him to go with the cows, something very untoward, some unfortunate incident may happen. After all, Krishna was in a family of cowherders, so it was in his blood, so to speak. And as we know, it is Krishna's eternal occupation. It is part of the Nitya Leela. There are some pastimes, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, that Krishna performs in the eternal spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, which are called Nitya Leela. Those Nitya Leela are also performed by Krishna when he descends here and brings Vrindavan into the material world. But in addition to those Nitya Leelas, those eternal pastimes, he also performs certain other pastimes called Naimittika Leela, which means occasional pastimes, like the killing of the demons, for example. So the grazing of cows is an eternal pastime, a Nitya Leela that happens in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. So naturally, for Krishna, the urge to go out with the cows was so strong, he would run away. So then Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda decided, okay, they had a conference again of the gopas and gopis, so what should we do? Our Kanhaiya is running away like this. So then they all came to the conclusion, okay, let's officially grant him permission to take the calves out for grazing. So they had the first initiation ceremony. They had a grand ceremony. The calves were there, there was Krishna, and Krishna was bathed and dressed and decorated, as were all the other cowherd boys by their respective mothers. And the brahmanas were called, an appropriate moment was chosen that was astrologically right. The priests came there, they had many rituals, they blessed the boys. And then Krishna and Balaram were feeling jubilant. They were in complete ecstasy because they knew now they would be able to take the calves out to graze. They would get the official permission to do so. So as the ceremony progressed, they were also given sticks, milking ropes, flutes and buffalo horns, which are the usual paraphernalia of a cowherd boy. So Krishna tucks them in at various places in his belt around the waist. Sometimes the horn may be hanging from his waist, the flute may be tucked into the waist, between the waist and the belt, and so on. And with this grand ceremony that was performed, and they were about to leave for the forest, and Mother Yashoda presented Krishna with leather shoes, and Krishna outright refused. He said, I cannot wear leather shoes because this will go against the dharma, because it comes from the height of the cows, so I will not take it. So when Balaram heard that Krishna would not accept leather shoes, he also refused. He said, I also will not take any leather shoes. So this is a lesson for us. as devotees that in case any of us are still using leather goods, we shouldn't be using that. Whether it's your shoes, and even if you're a householder and you go out to work and so on, make sure your shoes are made of something other than leather. Nowadays there are many other substitutes available. So Krishna continued to go out with his bare feet. Mother Yashoda was extremely worried. And there is this pastime that Jiva Goswami narrates about how Mother Yashoda was so anxious about his son's soft lotus feet getting pricked by the thorns and pebbles on the forest path that she was insisting that he should wear shoes. And then Krishna said, "Mother, we are here to serve the cows. We are their servants. So if you want me to wear shoes, you should also arrange for shoes for every one of my cows and the calves, for every one of them on every foot, because the calves and cows have four legs. We have only two. So naturally the number of shoes required would be enormous. Remember that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So it was a tall order for Mother Yashoda to be able to arrange so many shoes. So then she gave up trying to persuade him to wear shoes. But Mother Earth was feeling ecstatic because Krishna had placed his bare lotus feet on her. In the verse that we chanted today, it is mentioned, Vrindavanam punyam ativa chakratuhu padair. So Vrindavan was made auspicious because of the touch of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And Vrindavan, or the dust of Mother Earth, is considered even more fortunate than Vaikuntha. Why so? Because in Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan wears footwear. He has shoes, padukas. So his lotus feet, his bare lotus feet, do not touch the land of Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, which had manifested on earth, Krishna was walking bare feet in Vrindavan. So Mother Earth, upon whom Vrindavan Dham had descended, was now the glorious and most fortunate recipient of this unbelievable mercy of getting the lotus feet of the Lord on her head, on her body. So she was in complete ecstasy, but she was also anxious that the thorns and pebbles should not prick Krishna's lotus feet. So she arranged that all these thorns would be crushed to fine dust like pollen by the hooves of the calves, and they would feel very soft for Krishna. So when Krishna moved out after his first initiation ceremony as a calf herder, the forest land in Vrindavan was very soft. There were no thorns, there were no stones. We see in the Govardhan Parikrama to nowadays, there are many inner paths that have been made, partly by the government, and many devotees from various places, not just ISKCON but everywhere, have done a lot of hard work, a lot of seva to remove the thorns. I remember 20 years, 25 years ago, Govardhan Parikrama, especially the inner path, at every second step you would have to stop because thorns would get into your feet and you would have to stop and take out the thorns. But the last couple of years that we've done Govardhan Parikrama, I don't remember a single thorn piercing. We only remember the broken tar from the tarred roads, from little stones that prick the feet. So we have these devotees who have done so much seva so that millions of devotees can painlessly do the Govardhan Parikrama. So Mother Earth made such arrangement for Krishna. So when Krishna was going out, therefore, he had absolutely no difficulty. He was walking along and Mother Earth was in great bliss. And the lotus feet imprints of Krishna were to be found all over Braj. And the acharyas explain that these imprints remain there. So the question may be asked, how is it that these lotus feet imprints remain? When we walk along, even if our footprints are found in the soil or in the mud or the sand, they get erased very quickly because somebody else comes along and steps on it or throws some dust on it, or there's a breeze that blows some dust on it, our footprints don't remain. So how is it that Krishna's footprints remain there for such a long time? And the answer is that everybody, including the cows, the animals like the peacock, the birds like the peacocks, the animals like the deer, they all understood that these were the footprints of Krishna. And these footprints were a great treasure for all the Brajabasis and all species of life. So whenever they came across a footprint, they would very carefully avoid it and go around it so as to not erase the footprints. And Mother Earth, of course, was the most blissful because she had now footprints on her all over. So now Vrindavan was decorated with the footprints of Krishna all over, and that became the most important decoration for Vrindavan and for Mother Earth. And as the boys departed, the mothers of the boys started performing arati for them, and they performed many other auspicious rituals. They would sing songs to bless them so that no harm would come to them, and they would go safely, raise the calves and come back. Even the demigods came, Jiva Goswami says in the Gopal Champu, and they also similarly performed arati and sang songs to see off Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys as they ventured out on their first independent trip as calf herders. And then the boys went into the forest. They let the calves graze here and there. They directed them towards places where there was succulent grass. And Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys would engage in many pastimes there. They would play, again go back. Then Krishna saw that one calf felt very itchy. So to relieve the itch of the calf, he went and embraced the calf. And then he told the calf, I think you're feeling separation from your mother. So I'll take you back to your mother, don't worry. And Jiva Goswami says, with such useless talk, Krishna pacified the calf. Obviously he wasn't able to be able to take the calf back after having come into the forest. But the calf was extremely pacified. So such pastimes continued to happen. And meanwhile, at lunchtime, the mothers of the gopas, of the cowherd boys, sent ladies with their lunch boxes. So ladies promptly arrived and gave the respective boys their lunch boxes. And they all sat and had a picnic. And then this was the inauguration of the daily activities that would continue always so long as Krishna was in Braj. And the cows continued to graze, the calves rather. Krishna continued to perform his pastimes. And gradually Krishna began to grow in size, in maturity. He was attaining the end of his Balya Leela, his childhood pastimes, beginning his boyhood stage. And at that time he became more abashed. He was more ashamed of his mother bathing him and dressing him. So from that time on, he told us he forbade his mother from bathing him. Now he would bathe on his own. And he would also dress on his own. When Mother Yashoda saw this, she was grief-stricken. She was in great anxiety because she knew what was to come. He said, very soon, now Krishna is going to ask that he be allowed to herd the cows. And then he'll be out all day long. At least now when they're grazing the calf, they go for a short time and they come back. And they go only close to Vraja, close to our village. Because that's the condition we've imposed on the boys. They shouldn't go very far. But now when he grows up and he starts grazing the cows, he's going to be away all day long. And the very thought was so distressing for Mother Yashoda that she just didn't want to think about it. In any case, with great reluctance, she relented and let Krishna start taking his bath. In the meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj was also noticing that Krishna was kind of avoiding him. And he would show some glances at Krishna, at Nanda Maharaj, sometimes some awkward glances. But he was spending more time with his uncles, with the brothers of Nanda Maharaj. And sometimes he would go up to them and look here and there and speak in a very confidential way. And finally, Nanda Maharaj's curiosity got the better of him. So he went to his brothers and asked, "What is Krishna coming and talking so secretly to you about? I've been noticing this for several days. So what's happening?" So then the youngest of Nanda Maharaj's brothers, so the five sons of Parjanya Maharaj, he just spilled the beans. He said, "Krishna wants to hurt the cows." And Nanda Maharaj reacted as if he was struck by a thunderbolt. And then the second eldest brother, he came forward and tried to pacify Nanda Maharaj. "Actually, Krishna is growing up and he doesn't think that it's right for you as his father to have to take the trouble to come all over in the forest and graze. Now you should stay at home and relax." So because he's growing up, so he thinks that he's now capable of looking after the cows. So Nanda Maharaj was somehow pacified, but he saw the writing on the wall, so to speak. He understood the inevitable is going to happen. So then he also began to confer with Mother Yashoda. Again, an Ishtagoshti was held. A conference was held. And all the elder Brajabasis came together. "So now, what are we going to do? Krishna wants to graze the cows. And he thinks he's strong enough." The gopas and gopis were very worried because they said, "He's such a small boy, such a tender boy. And he won't be able to handle these cows, which are very huge in size." But Krishna would make repeated requests like that. And sometimes he would slap his arms to indicate that he was strong enough to take care of the grown-up cows, to reassure the gopas and gopis that he was all right, that he would be able to manage okay. But of course, Nanda Maharaj and the elders were not convinced. So this went on for a while, till finally this Ishtagoshti happened. And then, finally, that ceremony took place, the second initiation ceremony. And that happened today, on this day of Gopashtami. So he had already become a Vatsapa, Pa or Paha, or Pala means one who protects or tends. Vatsa means a calf. So the first graduation ceremony, or the first initiation of Krishna, had happened around the time of killing Vatsasura, when the Brajabasis had just about crossed the Yamuna and settled in Vrindavan. Vatsasura, by the way, was killed at a place called Vatsakrida. And then as time passed, now it was time on this day, Gopashtami day, for Krishna to move from being a Vatsapa to a Gopa. So we see in today's verse, in the purport, there is a quote, a verse quoted from the Padma Purana, the Kartik Mahatmya section. Shuklashtami Kartiketu Smrita Gopashtami Budhaihi Tat dinad vasudevo bhut gopah purvam tu vatsapah. Shuklashtami. In the phases of the moon, we have the dark phase and the bright phase. When the moon is waxing, it's called the bright phase. It's called Shukla Paksha, that fortnight which is bright. So this is the Shukla Paksha now. Ashtami indicates the eighth day of the moon. So Shuklashtami is the eighth day of the waxing moon, Kartike, in the month of Kartik. Smrita Gopashtami Budhaihi. So Budhai, all the intelligent, learned people, they consider this day as Gopashtami. Why so? Tad dinar, from that day on, Vasudevaha, Krishna, Abhut, he became Gopaha. He became a tender of cows. Well, wasn't he a tender of cows before? So it clarifies, Purvam tu Vatsapaha. Before this, he was a Vatsapa. He used to care for calves, but from this day on, he became a gopa, moved from a vatsapa to a gopa, and started caring for cows, grown-up cows. So in any case, so now a grand celebration was being organized that was much bigger than the first graduation or initiation ceremony of Krishna. For 3 days, announcements were made all over Braj with kettle drums and bugles. Hear, hear, everybody, we are going to have this grand celebration. And Krishna and Balaram and his friends are going to be now looking after the cows. Come everyone, one and all, come for this festival. So all the priests, the Brahmins gathered. They chanted many auspicious mantras, performed many yajnas. The gopis came and started singing many songs. The cowherd boys were decorated and dressed by their respective mothers. Musical instruments were playing. It was a very, very festive scene in Braj. And then gradually, the initiation happened, the mantras happened. And then formally, officially, Krishna came forward. He offered his obeisances to the cows and also to the priests. He then washed the feet of the elders, of the priests. He also decorated the cows. He fed them with fresh green grass. He gave gifts to the priests who had gathered. And as a formal ceremony, just like during sannyas ceremony, someone is handed over the stick, the staff. Here is your staff. So Nanda Maharaj, at this initiation ceremony, handed Krishna a jeweled cowherding stick. From today, you are a gopa. And Krishna was jubilant. And Mother Yashoda came forward. And with her motherly love, she anointed his forehead with tilak. May this protect you always, wherever you are. And the rest all gathered around them to shower their blessings. And then Mother Yashoda, in her motherly concern, called all of Krishna's friends. And she ordered them, Balaram, you are going to stay always in front of Krishna. Subal, you will always stay behind Krishna. Sridham and Sudama, you will stay on either side of Krishna. And all of you other boys, you are going to circle Krishna and be there. He is a very dear friend, remember. So don't go here and there. Always look after Krishna. So all the boys were very obedient. They all stood around Krishna. And it was time to move. And then he called out to the cows to come with various sounds like jihi, jihi, jihi. But the cows would not move because Krishna wanted the cows to go ahead. And incidentally, one of the things that caused Nanda Maharaj to hasten in having this Gopashtami festival is that the cows had caught wind. They had sensed that Krishna wants to take them out for grazing. And they also wanted to be taken out for grazing by Krishna. So they refused to step out of their sheds, to step even a foot outside. So Nanda Maharaj understood this was an emergency situation. And the initiation had to be given super quick. So the meetings were called very quickly and this was done. But even after the ceremony, when time came for Krishna to move out with the boys, the cows would not move. And Jiva Goswami says that actually the cows wanted to always see Krishna. They wanted to have Krishna in their gaze. Then Krishna understood that. So he moved ahead. And then the cows started moving behind Krishna and the cowherd boys. And it was a tumultuous scene with great jubilation and ecstasy and excitement. These young boys who had barely attained their boyhood age were jumping and dancing and singing. They were happy to be with Krishna now. All day they would be with Krishna from today on. They would leave early in the morning and come back in the evening. For Brajabasi, this was not a very good day. Because earlier they would see Krishna all day. And now they would not be able to see Krishna from morning till evening. They would get a glimpse of him only when he was moving into the forest. And then when he was returning from the forest, covered with dust. So the Brajabasis were not too happy with this, but what to do? It's the rites of passage, growing up, the reality of life in this world. The children do grow up. You can't deal with them as you used to earlier. So then, the boy is jumping and dancing to be with Krishna, playing their flutes, blowing their horns, some shouting, and some singing, dancing. They moved forward, and the cows also were dancing in jubilation. They were going up and down, and they followed Krishna. And the first cow herding session of Krishna began on this day of Gopashtami. Sri Gopashtami Mahotsav ki jai. In local Braja folklore, it is also said that there was also a private ceremony that was held, which was only for the men and the boys at this Gopashtami ceremony. The gopis were not allowed. So Radharani was feeling something missing. She said, I want to attend this ceremony. I want to enjoy the fun that will happen there. Now she happened to resemble Subal Sakha in appearance. So she dressed up like Subal Sakha. And then she went into the assembly dressed up as a cowherd boy. And some of the other gopis also did the same. They dressed up as cowherd boys. So on this day on Gopashtami, you will see Vrindavan, and in our temple too, in Krishna Balaram Mandir, you see that Srimati Radharani is dressed like a cowherd boy, like Subal Sakha. So that is the reason for Radharani's different type of dress today. So this is a wonderful festival. So let us all participate here. Actually, on a regular Gopashtami day, we should be spending the day cleaning the cow sheds, bathing the cows, decorating them, feeding them, serving them. And that's how we glorify the cows and Krishna, the tender of the cows. All glories to Sri Krishna, Govinda Gopal, whose eternal occupation is to look after the cows of Vrindavan. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, who has introduced us to this ecstatic world in the spiritual realm. Sri Gopashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very wonderful lecture. Even I gave a very short notice, but very, very complete. So, everyone is already getting up. I don't have to say much. Next feature is Prasada. Thank you all for coming. And please, next year we will again have Go Puja and Gopashtami. It would require some 10 devotees to take Srila Prabhupada back to the temple. So some devotees could come forward. For the rest is Prasadam. We would also thank Nandananda Prabhu and give us Kirtan. He was taking care of the Goshala for many, many years. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
बहुत सी तिथियां हैं जैसे एकादश